Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
Well, friends, it's Easter again. That's right, the stone has been rolled away, he is risen, morning has broken, and for the second year in a row, besides some musicians and one puppet, our pews are as empty as the tomb. Can you believe we have been doing this for over a year? In some ways, this feels like the longest year in recorded history, and in others, the shortest. After all, it's Easter. Again, it just doesn't seem like all that long ago when Emily surprised everyone by joining me for the 2020 Easter sermon. And at the risk of disappointing people earlier than usual in my sermons, no, she is not joining me again this year. If you need to tune out now, I understand. The point is, this entire year has kind of blurred together, hasn't it? When the pandemic first began, we thought it was just going to be, you know, for a couple of weeks. We thought we'd be back by Easter, meaning last Easter, and yet here we are, still not back to normal. Here we are, each of us, having been through at least one pandemic birthday, having celebrated every major holiday pandemic style, having survived all four seasons and all three waves so far, only to find ourselves smack back dab back at Easter. Again, celebrating the good news that Christ conquered death. Only if we're honest, it's kind of hard to celebrate this year. It's hard to get into that Easter spirit. After all, there are so many people who can't celebrate with us. There are so many people who have died in this last year, not just the 550,000 who have died from COVID, but all of those who have died in this last year, so many who didn't have the benefit of family members present when they passed, who haven't yet had a celebration of life, some of whom died without anyone recognizing at all. Maybe you're remembering someone like that this year. Maybe you find yourself wishing that you were celebrating Easter with someone. You're not alone. In other words, friends, not for the first time in Christian history, we as a people of faith find ourselves scratching our heads this Easter morning, asking ourselves, is it really possible that Christ conquered sin and death? When we look around our world and that's all we see. When we look out at our world and only seem to see death and pain and destruction with every notice that pops up on our phone, every time we turn on the television, everything that comes at us seems to remind us of the realities of pain and racism and suffering and poverty and income inequality and climate change and homophobia and... You get the point. On a day like today, when the world is as it is, it makes sense to ask ourselves, does a day like today really matter? Is there anything worth celebrating this Easter? The answer, of course, is yes. The promise of the gospel is yes. The hope of Easter is fundamentally and always yes. Because though we can look out at the world and recognize that it is not where it needs to be. Though we see so much pain and destruction and death in our lives, the good news, the hope of Easter itself, is that no matter if all we see is death, life is still possible. That is the hope of Easter. In other words, friends, we may never get back to normal, whatever that even means. But we can always, by God's grace, get back to life. And because of that, we have something to celebrate this Easter. The promise, the hope of life. Only this kind of hope, the kind that we can't see, is going to take a little faith to embrace. Though we recognize that might be a tall order right about now. After all, this has been a year that can make or break one's faith. Nothing like a global pandemic to put things into perspective. It makes us pause to ask ourselves what it is that we actually believe. If, for instance, this has been a moment where if we, before the pandemic, believed that God was flipping every switch, making everything happen for a reason, that God had one distinct plan for our lives, Wheaties, not Cheerios, Stephen. Well, then this year might have made us take a step back, to ask some hard questions, to reevaluate our faith. That's not such a bad thing. Who wants to believe in a God that causes global pandemics? Not me. The good news is we don't. Friends, we believe in a God who has given us free will. We don't believe in a grand puppet master making challenges arise in our lives to teach us some cosmic lesson. No, we believe in a God who has given us free will, who has shown us the way to live and longs for us to choose it, who's given us freedom to be in this world, which means that, yes, sometimes bad things are going to happen, even to the people we love, even to us. No, the promise of our faith is not that bad things aren't going to happen. The promise is that we won't have to face them alone when they do. And as we've been reminded over and over again during this last year, we can face a lot if we know we don't have to face it alone. And though we can't always see the people who are there to support us, we can have faith that they are. We have, over the centuries, really messed up this faith thing. We've made it about so much else, but maybe it's time in this moment of global reimagination to just get back to the basics. Maybe on this Easter Sunday, what we can do, the gift we can offer one another, if we want to find that hope in what we can't see, is to remember what faith fundamentally is. So here's a shot. Here's what the Christian faith is about, at least attempt to explain it. Jesus Christ came to show us the way to life, the kind of life that not even death can destroy. And much to the chagrin of our theologians, it had nothing to do with doctrine or dogma, the detritus of our faith. It had nothing to do with how we worship or where we worship or if we even worship. In the end, it really only had to do with one thing, the connection we have with God and with each other. That's really all we're really called to do, find that genuine connection with God and with each other, only it turns out you can't do one without the other. We have a fancy name for it in the church, if you haven't heard about it from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Maybe you heard about it from John, Paul, George, and Ringo. It's fairly simple. Love. All you need is love. Love leads to life. That's the gospel in four words. If you remember nothing else that I've said, at least remember that. Love leads to life. Though, to be clear, we're not talking about the romantic love, not only. We're not talking about the sunshine and roses, cotton candy, abstract love for all people. No, we're talking about that concrete, messy, warts and all kind of love. The love that makes us stand up when we'd rather sit down, that makes us speak out when we'd rather stay silent, the love that makes us go when we'd much rather stay. It's the kind of love that is willing to sacrifice for another person. That's the kind of love we've celebrated this week, that we've remembered this week, Christ's love for us, that he laid down his very life because he believed in us, because he loved us. There is no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Maybe you've experienced that kind of love. If you have, then you already know the truth of the Easter promise. That love never ends. That's why we grieve in these moments, isn't it? When we lose someone we love, we grieve because that love continues. It doesn't stop with our last breath or our last heartbeat. It keeps going. We hold on to that love because love is immortal. Life is eternal. And so we find our way into love with one another to hold on to it so that we have something eternal to grasp when the temporal world that we're in falls apart. We've recognized that this year, haven't we? Only traditionally, we've looked for love in all the wrong places. We've confused it, haven't we? We live in a world where we're convinced that if we just swipe right enough times, we'll find love eventually. But love isn't grounded in our own pleasure. It is grounded in our connection, our genuine regard for another person. And it takes some creativity, but we can do it. It's hard, but not impossible. Somewhere between navigating the East Avenue Wegmans parking lot and folding a fitted sheet. Hard, but not impossible. And we have, if nothing else, learned to be creative in it this year, haven't we? We've recognized that need for connection and found a way to engage it. Let's hold on to that. Look at this moment. Who would have thought that our 200th Easter celebration together would be completely virtual? And yet, for as strange as this is, and it is strange, we have maintained a connection. I can still feel you out there, or at least the few of you who stayed after you found out Emily wasn't going to be here. We're still here. We can connect with one another, but it takes a little faith to believe that there are others out there, that eventually we will be able to find that connection face to face, or at least some of us. Sometimes we can't see the hope that is out there. We just have to have faith that it is. Look at the scripture lesson for today. In some ways, it seems so fitting that the lectionary has landed us on Mark this year. After all, Mark's different than the other Gospels. It's much more simple, and it is missing something that the other Easter accounts have, namely, perhaps you heard it, the risen Christ. Mark's account is missing Jesus. He's not there. We have the women coming to the tomb. They're hearing the story. They're told to go and to share the good news that Christ is risen. But then they leave in terror and amazement, not saying anything to anyone because they are afraid. And that is where it ends. Originally, that was the actual end of Mark's gospel. That's where it stopped, in terror and amazement, in fear for the unknown, but in that uncertain hope about the future. It's a little uncomfortable. Perhaps that's why so many other shorter versions, other endings were added later on throughout the centuries, but there is something beautiful about that ending for Mark, especially for us. After all, we now know what it's like to have faced something traumatic, to have had our world turned upside down and to find ourselves stuck somewhere between amazement and terror, between hope and uncertainty. Maybe many of us are there right now. We can see that the vaccine is out there. We can see people are starting to get it. Maybe we've even gotten it ourselves. And yet there are those other strains that are rising up in us. We find ourselves stuck somewhere between amazement and terror, between hope and uncertainty.
Mark's readers were asked to trust that even if they couldn't get back to normal, they might be able to get back to life. Friends, maybe we can trust the same thing. After all, it's Easter! Again! It's come around, and we've learned some things between last Easter and this one, haven't we? We've come a long way in a short amount of time. We've recognized at the very least how interconnected we are as an entire globe. No longer can we pretend that what we do doesn't affect the people around us. Now we know that it does. No longer can we pretend that we can get by on our own. Now we know that we can't. No longer can we pretend as though the pain of our neighbor, near or far, isn't our pain as well. Now we know that it is. By God's grace, let us not go back to normal. Because that which we called normal really wasn't. That which we had gotten used to really wasn't good or normal. We've learned some things in this last year. We learned that we had gotten used to some things that just weren't giving us life. We've learned something about the tyranny of our schedules, about what it was like to be so busy trying to live our life that we forgot to really live. We understood what it was like to just keep going from one thing to the next, never giving ourselves a chance to step back and ask why we were doing it in the first place. We've looked around our world and started to recognize some things that we should have noticed a long time ago. Think about how far we've come towards racial justice in this last year. Think about all we've learned about poverty and income inequality and climate change and all these other things that have come this year. By God's grace, let us not go back. Sure, we have found a vaccine for the virus, but those other illnesses are still plaguing us, crying out for someone to heal. Maybe we can be the ones to do it. But it's going to take a choice. By God's grace, we have been given the freedom to choose it. Friends, it's Easter. Again, the stone has been rolled away. He is risen. Morning has broken. Christ is alive. Now the question is, are we? We may never get back to normal. But by God's grace, and with some faith, some hope, and a whole lot of love, we can get back to life. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.